Are current Wall Street regulations fighting the last financial war, but not the next one? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. OPEC countries, as well as Russia and other oil producers, will meet this weekend in Algeria. On that agenda, increasing supply, possibly? Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
OPEC officials will likely talk about which member countries will increase production. The group agreed to supply 1 million additional barrels per day back in June in response to pressure from the United States. President Trump has been consistently critical of OPEC, tweeting on Thursday, quote, "We protect the countries of the Middle East. They would not be safe for very long without us. And yet they continue to push for higher and higher oil prices. We will remember. The OPEC monopoly must get prices down now," end quote. Getting prices down could be complicated. Supply from Iran is already at 2-year lows, and new U.S. sanctions on that country are set to go into effect in November. That will cripple output even more, which could bring an additional spike in oil prices before the cartel can increase production elsewhere.
Our Andy Euler. Let's check markets. FTSE in London up 1.1%. S&P and NASDAQ futures here are up in the 0.1% range. And new numbers out of the Federal Reserve show the net worth of U.S. households went up 2.1% in the spring to summer quarter, $843 billion richer in total. Now, for people who do not own stock or a home, which is a lot of Americans, this number doesn't necessarily apply. Over the past few months, you've been hearing Divided Decade, Marketplace's year-long project covering the Great Recession and its ongoing impact. As a nonprofit news organization, we believe this kind of in-depth reporting is critical to helping people understand the economic forces that affect us every day. Now, if you agree, please go to marketplace.org to become a Marketplace investor and keep reliable, independent journalism going strong. And thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Dodd-Frank is the law that overhauled Wall Street after the mess we had to live through 10 years ago. Risky home mortgages going bust, setting off financial weapons of mass destruction. Then this time, in 2008, the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Now, the two Democrats who got the reform law through the then Democrat-controlled Congress were Barney Frank on the House side and Chris Dodd in the Senate.
The issue of financial literacy, I've often said, is not only a general problem with the public at large, but you could make the case for the Congress itself.
All right. It's also been noted that the Dodd-Frank law focused to a large degree on banks that were seen as too big to fail. But Dodd-Frank is not really focused on other parts of the financial system that are in some ways bank-like but are not regulated as such. I'm talking about the shadow banking system, which includes hedge funds, money market accounts, and more. Now, here's part of my Dodd-Frank conversation focused on these next frontiers in regulation.
What worries you most now about the financial system? Surely your worries are not over.
My worry is that I don't know what will happen next. Here's the position with the financial system and others. The private sector innovates, and at some point, the innovations outstrip existing regulations. And the mistake is, if you wait too long, that was the problem in the 90s and the 2000s. It wasn't so much deregulation as non-regulation. Here's what I'm afraid of, is that we will see a repeat of this. That I don't know what the next set of innovations will be. My fear is that there will be innovations that will, in part, be designed to get around existing regulations, and the regulations won't catch up quickly enough. It'll depend, you know, who's in power.
Well, you wrote about this in the book, that back when you were an adolescent, around the time of your bar mitzvah, you weren't sitting around worried about collateralized debt obligations or swaps and stuff. In other words, the financial services gets more and more sophisticated, but you're saying there's a mismatch between the speed at which we regulate.
Well, there has been. There doesn't have to be. I mean, what happened was this philosophy of deregulation set in, and I what I'm hoping is that coming out of the experience we had, it's going to be a while before people become that willing again to sit back. I think there are a lot of people now who are looking, who are asking, as you are. I mean, look, if we were being interviewed 40 years ago, people would be saying, well, what worries you about the financial system? The fact that you're asking that now is a sign, I think, of, yeah, we have learned the lesson. There is greater sophistication about the dangers.
Chris Dodd?
Yeah, two things. I think the debt issue domestically, both at the national level, the state level, the community level.
So national level, this is government borrowing, but also corporate debt, risky corporate debt.
I think it's a huge issue that's looming out there. I think it's regrettable in some ways. I mean, the fact that we're still 10 years later, not just a matter of history talking about this, but in fact, there are bills being introduced all the time to try and undo what Barney and I did. You know, you've got things like fintech, you've got cybersecurity, you've got data issues. If I were chairing the committee today, I'd be looking, those are the issues that I think are rather on the cutting edge of the stability and soundness of our financial institutions. Instead of worrying about, you know, the Volcker rule, per se.
Or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, is what you would argue.
Why aren't you looking at these real, you know, and some of them are exciting, by the way. I'm not suggesting we ought to be opposed to them. I think fintech offers some unique opportunities. The Bitcoin issues and so forth, that's, why not just reject that out of hand? Seems to me smart, intelligent people ought to be looking at it to determine whether or not these are offering new opportunities. So debt and these legitimate issues that are out there today that didn't exist 10 years ago.
Stepping back, I also asked them if all this post-crisis regulation is a success story or something else. This given data from the Social Science Research Council that the typical white family in America 20 years after Dodd-Frank's passage will have 31% fewer assets. The typical black family at that point, about a dozen years from now, will have 40% fewer assets than they would had the Great Recession never happened.
Of course that's true, but you're confusing what we did in response to the crisis, to the causes of the crisis. Our bill didn't destroy people's houses. The practice of unregulated subprime loans destroyed the practice. So, of course, if you're talking about are people in many cases worse off than they were before, yes, but we didn't claim that the bill undid all the social and economic crime. The bailout had the purpose of trying to keep things from getting worse and becoming a general crash, and the bill had the purpose of trying to prevent these abuses in the future. Neither one of them had the capacity to undo what had been done before.
Barney Frank. A director's cut of the in-depth conversation is there for your viewing and listening pleasure. It's at marketplace.org, where you'll also find the rest of our Politics of Crisis coverage. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.